This is Ranger Kidwell Ross, editor at WorldSweeper.com, and I have with me Jim Larko, who is general manager of CATSAM Enterprises. They're located in the St. Louis, Missouri area. And CATSAM is our contractor of the month for August, so congratulations for that, Jim.
Thank you.
I appreciate the interview. I'm looking forward to a lot of information that other contractors can glean some info from.
Well, I hope I have some that's worthwhile to somebody.
Well, you've been in the business for 23 years. Just to stay in business that long, you've learned a number of things. If you would, talk about CATSAM, how you got started or where you are today, those kinds of things. Bring us up to date.
CATSAM started as a small lawn service. I came out of the machine shop operation. I was a machinist, repair person, and served an apprenticeship there and started a lawn service up. I saw my trade dying in this country and decided I needed to do something else. Long story short, I listened to my customers. Customers kept asking for things, and I turned the lawn service from a small little lawn service to a mid-sized one, sold it off, and kept day porters, pressure washing, and then a couple years later, they asked about parking lot sweeping. Again, I had two customers same week ask me the same thing, if I'd go into parking lot sweeping. And so I'm not sure it's my uphill or downhill sometimes.
But before you knew it, you were making payments on a sweeper.
Yes. 1996, I actually started sweeping parking lots and went from a one-truck operation to running 8 trucks daily, owned 12 trucks. Run some specialty routes, and just keep on going.
You primarily are doing parking area sweeping. You have done street sweeping. You mentioned off the tape that you were looking at getting out of street sweeping. What's the rationale there?
Oh, competition is bidding so low on municipalities, and the construction trade has completely died out down here. There's very little work going on. And I've got one of my street sweepers that doesn't move but like once a month. And that just does not make the payments. So the other one's just barely moving and making its own payment. And it's time. Just streamline it. Do what I do well and continue to do it. What's not working, get rid of it.
One of the things about street work also is that there's a fairly good lead time between contracts. You have to do a lot of work to potentially get a contract. And
yeah, well, municipalities in general, you know, you're bidding them. You have to go through the bidding process. Going with that, you know, sometimes you win, sometimes you don't. But I lost 3 of my municipalities for this year that I normally would have had to, you know, the competition bidding lower, sometimes considerably lower.
Would you say that it's generally tougher to differentiate yourself in a street municipality situation than it is with individual property management customers?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I would say, too, as a general rule. They're a low bid.
Yeah, the municipalities don't know you as a contractor. They know you as paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
Just numbers.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they go by. It's not about reputation, how well you do. I mean, how well you do is important. That's how they keep you. But if you don't have the right numbers, you're not there.
Yeah, and they figure they'll have somebody that will be overseeing your work anyway, so whoever it is,
you know,
we'll
take a
little bit.
It's not the highest paying, so, you know, it keeps the trucks moving, but it's not a good profit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the difference is, you know, the difference between a 20% profit or a 5% profit, which would you rather have?
That's right.
Yes, my trucks keep moving, but if I'm only making 5%, then it's not worth my effort sometimes.
You bet. And you do other types of work as well, pressure washing and pressure washing with reclamation. Let's talk about the latter, if you would. That's
sure.
A rising issue, I think, around the country, and in the places where it isn't yet, it will be. So what's happening in Missouri in terms of reclaiming the water that's being used for pressure washing?
Missouri is slow to follow what the East Coast, West Coast does. But the attention is starting to fall on this. Green cleaning is, you know, the word green is just popping up everywhere. People are thinking about it. We have got some interest in this. We developed a system ourselves in-house 2 years ago, started using it. We've jumped on the bandwagon with a piece of equipment called Cyclone. It's produced by Nilfisk Advanced. They're one and the same company now. It is a total mobile reclamation system. A little bit pricey, but it does work.
Yeah, I've seen that. I've seen that machine. We actually sent a mail out for them to our contractor base, and it's a real nice looking machine.
Kind of reminds you of a small ice cream truck.
Uh-huh.
We have been using that in a couple of garages that we've had scheduled, and we are challenging it to the max. We have probably one of the nastiest, filthiest garages we've ever seen at one of the casinos down here. The garage has not been cleaned in some place between 5 and 7 years, and we're tackling this.
Your plan is to get down to the pavement.
Yes, and it is pretty bad. The slow part on the pressure washing of anything is getting the gum up.
Mm-hmm.
That because you still have to do that with the wand or gun, as they refer to it. It's a manual. The machine does not take it all up. It takes very little of it up. So you have to go back to the manual system, and it just takes time.
You bet. But that's a generally great machine for doing that process, I bet.
It covers large territories very well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an impressive piece of equipment. Now the challenge is to keep it busy so I can keep the payments.
That's right.
But I do like it. I'm getting great customer support from them as far as, you know, training, you know, any issues we have with the equipment, not understanding it, parts and so on. And we have a local distributor here that's taking very good care of us, and I'm happy about that.
Well, it seems clear that that's the direction that we're headed. Just as a quick aside, some listeners may know, that, and if not, go to our international section. You can see the stories on it. But I went to Singapore and met with their Ministry of Health, which is who is in charge of street cleanliness in this country of Singapore. And they do not allow gum in there at all.
I remember some of that.
Yeah, they don't allow gum to be brought in
over that direction, and they were talking about gum is banned.
So it's amazingly clean on the streets, and but the thing you really do notice on the sidewalks is there's just zero gum. The sidewalks are all beautiful as a result of it. So
it takes my work away.
They would take your work away. So that's an area to for people listening to this to consider if you're a contractor and you're looking for a sweeping contractor and you're looking for other things you can do for clients. Water reclamation, pressure washing is certainly an area to consider. Is there anything else either on the side that you do that you think differentiates yourself or in sweeping itself?
Know, most of the contractors are now talking about diversifying, getting into more things. Yes, we have the sweeping, we have the pressure washing, we have something we call day porters, which are basically outside janitors for the most part. They do hand trash pickup on the properties, you know, walk around with little pinchers, pick up trash, and light maintenance items, things that they don't want to call a regular contractor in for, somebody to screw some light bulbs in or clean out an empty storefront. And that's all done on time and materials. But it's a nice little profitable thing to do. We just recently added a professional window washing division. So we've, you know, are now going out there for a lot of the same shopping centers and, you know, going after and doing professional window washing. So, again, we continue to grow, not all in one basket. So.
And that makes so much sense, diversification in this kind of economy and in the kind of economy that we're moving toward. One of the things that I would encourage listeners to do is to do what got you where you are today, which is to listen to your customers and, you know, maybe survey your current customers and see what it is that your current group of customers might want you to do.
it's a perpetual thing. Anytime I'm talking to a customer, whether they're calling about a complaint, which we do get some, or they're calling about a new service or additional services, is to ask them if there's anything else we can do for you. Are they having trouble finding a contractor for a specific job? It's a simple question. They'll either say yes or no, and they'll tell you what they're having, you know, whether it's, you know, they can't find a good painter, or they can't find somebody that, you know, to fix, you know, a leak in one of their roofs or whatever. So if you don't have the resources yourself, have a good list of contractors that you can call upon and help them out in the process.
That makes good sense.
One of the other things with these contractors that's really working well for us right now is we're building these partnerships where we sub for other local contractors. I have a lawn service that I work with. They're subbing me out on sweeping and pressure washing on a lot of the properties they have total control of. Well, these are properties I couldn't do any other way other than going through them. So we built this relationship. And now I'm sending work their way for some of our other customers and referring them on. And, yes, you work out whatever, whether they get a percentage or you mark up their services, and you get something out of it. If nothing else, you get the reward of satisfying your customer.
Well, and that is something that I think is not given as much strength as it could be by many people. They just say, well, you know, we don't do that, and hang up the phone. And it's so powerful to make your phone number the one that your customer calls when he needs something.
Yeah, and whatever the financial arrangements you are with these other contractors are, is behind the scenes and so on.
Mm-hmm.
At most, if I sub somebody out, yes, if I mark up their services, hey, that's wonderful. If I just do it on straight cost, you know, and just do a billing fee, I'm not losing any money, but my customer is got my phone number, they call directly, they get one phone call thing.
Yes.
And as long as you're providing the quality services, they usually don't complain. It makes it easy on them.
Yeah, and that's, go back to the old adage of time is money, and they recognize that more than most. Most property managers have way too much on their plate, and they just want to get it handled and look good to their bosses. So.
Yeah, there's a lot of property managers right now that I can't see over the top of their desk because two or three of their counterparts have been laid off.
Right.
And so they're burdened with, you know, they're trying to do the work of three people, and they can't keep up. Now's the time to make sure you're visible to them. Take advantage of the down economy, the fact that everybody's downsizing, get visible with those good contacts. And make sure they know that you can handle their problems. And that's been my whole solution through the course of business.
Well, that makes great sense.
I solve my customers' problems. That's it, you know, in a simple sentence.
Yeah. Let's talk about something I know that's near and dear to your heart, which is national providers.
Oh, I love them.
As many of the listeners would echo, oh, I love them. What's happening out there with national providers, and what have you seen? What has been your experience? And anecdotally, what have you heard from other contractors? Because I know you're active with NAPSA and, you know, in contact with a number of other contractors in different parts of the country.
National providers, you can work with them, but is the big question here. What are they going to ask you for? On the upside, they can provide you with a lot of work. What you want to make sure is you're going to get the work at your price, not their price. They have a tendency to want to beat us down on our pricing. Well, that doesn't help me. I'm not going to take a lot of work at no profit because, then again, I'm just spinning my wheels.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple things to watch out for when you start working with them. One is most of them ask for a non-compete clause in there, which means if they lose the contract for whatever reason, you cannot go to that customer for a period of time, usually 3 years, that you cannot approach that customer and bid. And the way these national providers go, they don't retain the contracts for very long. I've seen it in a couple circumstances that things change. They have it, you know, you may sign a year with them or 3 years with them, they don't keep it for the 3 years.
Yeah, and you're thinking at the time, okay, now I'm going to have this this job now for the next 3 years.
Yeah, but the second part of that three-year contract is they ask you for a price. They want you to maintain that price for 3 years. They're not going to let you have price increases. Shame, shame, if you agree to that. Understand your costs are going to go up. If you're not following the insurance market lately,
right.
Please do so.
Yeah, and you don't know what's going to happen with fuel, for example,
yeah.
too.
You know, fuel right now is great, but
yeah.
You know, these costs come up. A lot of them won't let you have fuel surcharges.
Well, and that's an example of when you sign a contract in this market where fuel prices are great. Now fuel goes up a buck and a half, and you're locked into a three-year contract.
And you're locked into a three-year contract. And you're going to eat it. And that's a lot of money to eat. And the last big item that I always watch out for when I read these contracts that they send over is what kind of paperwork do they want? Do they want that store manager to sign? And will they take it via fax? Can I fax that work order over to the store manager? If you have to personally get that signature, trust me, at 2 o'clock in the morning, there's usually not a manager on that site, which means you have to drive back the next day, and that's an expensive proposition to drive around town getting signatures.
Mm-hmm.
If they'll agree that you can fax it to them or email it to them and get a signature that way, hey, that's wonderful. I'll do that. If I have to drive, they're either going to pay me more or it's not going to happen.
Well, I think that's an indicator of what the rest of your relationship may work out as. If they're requiring that you have to have a signature that's a, you know, as you say, a hand-gotten signature,
yeah.
What other things are in the woodwork there that they're going to be difficult to work with? Because
And there's a lot of little things. So there's some of them that come out there that demand weekly or monthly photos of the work being done. Well, again, it's one of those things that takes time to do all this. Every time they start adding something else in there, most companies that are out there will have the proper insurances and can handle the insurances. So that's usually not the issue. Insurance is usually not a big to-do on my end. I carry enough insurance. Most contractors do, to meet most of the specifications. But those couple other items will make or break you on a job, let alone, watching your noise ordinances or your time frames that you can go into a property in some areas. All that stuff's required. But read the contracts, understand the contracts. If not, call your lawyer and ask him to decipher it for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you pay those guys for, too.
Well, one of the things to remember is on a basic level, what the national aggregators are doing is streamlining the process for their customers. And part of what that is what they can provide Target is the example that's always used because they went to a national aggregator and then really got caught with their pants down when the aggregator cut and ran with the money. But for example, you walk into a Target or another chain store, they talk to them about how much they can streamline the process to where, they don't have to do near as much on their end. Well, a lot of those things have to still get done. So what they're the man in the middle making you do it as a contractor, and that's one of those things that you just have to be so cautious about what the contract reads and what payment schedules as well. Are there penalties if they don't pay you within the specified time period? Because another thing I've heard is aggregators, as they get in trouble, or even as part of their business model, because they can use your money, stretching your payments out to 90 days, 120 days, and that gets difficult to live with too.
And, the payment thing is a big to-do. Some of these contracts, national contractors or providers, don't have the best reputation for paying in a timely fashion. I don't mind something going 30 to 45 days if I know it's 30 to 45 days. The 60 to 90 or 120, no. I don't like that. You know, that's all about cash flow, and you know, you've already paid your labor, you've paid your fuel bills, you've paid your truck repairs, and if you haven't got a payment in pretty soon, guess what? Your cash flow is terrible, and you're sitting there waiting for those to come in there. Pretty soon, you're not going to make that payroll.
Right.
So it's getting that cash flow to work for you. But, you know, most of the national providers can be worked with if you're cautious about going in with them. Wow. Some of them, no. It's just not going to work out. They won't agree to remove certain items from the contracts. If they won't agree to remove those items that you feel are important to you, then I would not sign one of their contracts. And I have done so.
Well, I would agree wholeheartedly, because I've heard so many horror stories of things that have happened with aggregators, and I am not in a position to say that they're all bad, but there are certainly some bad apples in that barrel, and they're, because of the economy especially, there are more and more of that taking place, because retail chains are looking at anything they can do to cut costs, and so that becomes more attractive to them.
And I can understand that, you know, a national company, you know, whether it's Target or whatever, right now Walmart's out pursuing the same thing, where they get it down to they have that one phone call. They get their lawn service, their snow plowing, their sweeping. They may even have janitorial services slotted in, where this national provider is going to take care of all these facility maintenance items. Well, that's wonderful. They have one person to call for them. But in the process, that one person they're calling is going to have to deal with whatever that customer, that ultimate customer, used to deal with themselves. They're going to have all these individual contractors to work with. Because you're not going to find somebody out there that's doing all these services in all areas of the country.
Period. That's right.
Plain and simple.
That's right. There's a disconnect that's there, and you have to realize that from the outset. So
and that company in the middle, guess what? They want to make money.
Mm-hmm.
How are they going to get paid is the question.
And they're going to try to see to it that they make money whether you do or not. I mean, they're clearly their best interest is in their money-making ability versus the individual contractors that they've hired to do this. So anyway, we've seen a number of instances like that, and both of us. So,
it's going to continue. I think it's one of those things that you got to pay attention to right now. It's one of the things happening now, and it's going to continue happening for some time. How long? I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well, what else should we talk about?
Talk a little bit about diversifying. Changes in the marketplace, product services, you know, what it is. I mean, paying attention to what's coming out there in products. You know, what are we going to use, and how are we going to provide our sweeping or pressure washing or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
What is the equipment coming out to?
There have been some real changes in equipment over the last 10 years, unlike in the previous 10.
Well, in the last 3 years alone, mm-hmm. it's all been about diesel and diesel emissions. And what's going on with the trucks and how they are going to operate and so on. A lot of information. We got a new change coming up in the next year.
Right.
With the diesel emissions. What's that going to do? I know I just talked with one of the vendors for supplying trucks, and they just had a Zuzu in there talking about their urea tanks going on to the trucks. Well, I asked them, I said, where are you going to get this urea? I know that I can drive out about 30 miles to the first truck stop outside of my metro area, and they're carrying it. They're calling it DEF, Diesel Emission Formula.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a nice term for the public.
Right.
Now, instead of, hey, here's the last component for, for your exploding vehicle.
Well, that is going to be a challenge. I think it makes sense for the trucking industry. Doesn't matter because they figure all the truck stops will carry it. But for the side industries like sweeping, that have to come up with the urea.
So let's say a year from now, I buy one of the 2010 trucks that's now equipped this way. where do I get this urea? Can I have a tank on site? I don't know. I haven't found that out yet.
Mm-hmm.
Can I have my own pump or whatever it takes? Like, I have a diesel pump here.
Sure.
I have a pump for that, too.
What
kind of security do I have to have on it?
And one of the changes that has spawned, and this is topical in that just yesterday I learned that Victory is coming out with a gas sweeper,
yep.
A twin-engine parking lot sweeper. So that's one response is some number of contractors want to come back to gas.
In fact, I got their brochure on my desk.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about where diesel is going to go. I've got to do a little more homework and make a decision. That's part of it is what am I going to do for my next equipment purchase?
Yeah.
And if you're going to be in this for the long haul, that equipment has to be rotated out on a regular basis.
And you have to keep track of what your competition is doing, as well.
So.
Because they're, in this economy, I have even heard about hand-pick companies that are springing up out there that are saying they're doing parking lot sweeping. What they're doing is they're bringing a group of people converging on parking lots. And now there's a change. That's what used to happen before.
I talked to somebody about that the other day. He says he was out on a property. He looked across the street, and here was a minivan that had about five or six guys jump out of it with brooms and dustpans and trash bags.
Right.
And he says, well, I've been trying to work that account. They said they have a sweeping company. He says, well, if you want to call that a sweeping company, that's fine. He was just surprised to see that.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that and the Victory T500, the tow behinds, those are lower cost operation. Everything has its pluses and its minuses. And keep in mind what your competition is doing around you, and keep up with that. Sell against what it is that is selling against you in your market area.
Yep.
Recognizing that is so important.
It's being aware, what's happening and where it's going to go, and can you be the one setting the pace?
Well, you have been doing that. It sounds like successfully for 23 years, and so. You're on course to do that, but boy, you sure can't be complacent these days and rest on your laurels because there's so much going on.
Yeah, I have a little interesting thing that came to light the other day. There's a young man that I've worked with as a youth. When he was a youth, he's in his mid-20s now, has started up his own little lawn care business with a partner. And we're going to do some advertising together out there. And what's got me interested is he's walking out the door the other day, and I turned around and thanked him. He goes, what for? Because he's been picking my brain for advice and so on. I says, well, for reinvigorating me. You remind me of myself 20 years ago. All cranked up, ready to go. I can conquer the world and so on. And it's a nice kind of kick in the butt to reinvigorate me and go, I cannot sit back. Just like you said, you cannot sit back. And you get in those modes like, oh, everything's running smooth, let's just let it keep running. So he's given me a little motivation to keep moving and remind me of why I started in business in the first place. So, and to bring that enthusiasm back. So it's kind of nice.
You bet. You bet. It makes it not only better to run your business, but enthusiasm sells as well.
Yeah, so I try and pass that on to to the staff here, and that my enthusiasm's good, and theirs will be better, and hopefully things will run smooth. There's always those downsides. The big headaches of trying to keep good personnel is always a challenge. I don't think there's anybody out there hiring employees that won't say the same thing. Keeping good personnel is always a challenge.
You bet. Well, and you'd think that in a market like this where the unemployment rate is high that you'd have a better chance of getting good people, but that's not what I've really heard
not really.
Around the country either.
No. Yeah. I'm not sure. I haven't seen a higher quality of people walking through the door on a regular basis here. So we just keep up with good screening processes, and hopefully it'll work. But I don't know what else we can do here. I mean,
okay. Well, I think
other questions for me.
I think that we've covered a variety of topics and a lot of ground. There are many good ideas and tips that you've put out there for other contractors that are listening to this. And
I guess it goes back to, if anybody's out there and they're starting a business or they're still young in the business, do your homework. You know, if it works on paper, there's a good chance it's going to work in real life. But if it doesn't work on paper, trust me, it won't work in real life.
And if you see a piece of paper called a contractor agreement and you don't agree with and have questions about some of the things, simply don't sign it. Yeah. A lot of times you can renegotiate it.
Get the answers, scratch them out, talk to the people. Well, there's a lot of things that you can get waived. A lot of times they're set up as a uniform contract. You know, well, that's one thing to send out a uniform contract to a construction company that's going to build your building or remodel your building, as opposed to a parking lot sweeper who's just going to drive around in your parking lot. Whether it's on the insurance limits or what was the newest one? I had one I've never signed before and had to get additional insurance. Employee honesty policy. 23 years, I've never had one of these.
Mm-hmm.
I got a customer that demanded it. It's a little small mall here, and they wanted that additional coverage on the insurance. 23 years, I've never had one. Now they want an employee honesty policy. Not expensive.
Well, those are the kind of things that you just have to take a look at on an individual basis. Talk to your insurer who you should be in.
It's a very cheap policy. I don't think it's going to cost me $150 a year. But the contract's well worth it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so. And putting that on there, you know, it's based on dollar volume of the company. So, you know, the larger company's going to pay a little bit more, but, you know, $150 when you're spending as much for other insurance is cheap.
That's right. Drop in the bucket to get the account.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is. It'll be a good account, you know. So the manager loves us. We've done work for him before. He's been transferred to a new center, and now we have it. So we're thrilled.
And that's exactly the type of markers that show you that you're doing a good job when the managers change and they want to change sweeping contractors rather than keep with whoever happens to be there. So that's a good sign right there.
That's been one of my best growths. A property manager leaves Company A, goes over to Company B. They liked us. They take our business card. And guess what? Now we're working for Company B. And some property managers flit around to five or six companies before they find a home. Once they find a home, they're pretty much going to stay there for their career. But in the meantime, you've just picked up three, four, five different companies that you weren't working for before.
Right. And keep in mind that property managers talk to each other a lot, too, and they're going to know who's out there that they like and who that they don't as well. Well, it's quite clear on the tape why Catsup Enterprises is so well-suited to be our contractor of the month, and I can see why the St. Louis area is well-represented.
Okay, well, we rely upon others out there. You yourself, through your website, provide a lot of vast knowledge. And if nobody else is looking at it, we do. So.
Well, and I don't think you can compete these days with the people who do read and take to heart the articles that are and information that's at World Sweeper. How can you compete without doing that?
It's continuing education.
Right. Continuing. I learn something all the time and from you today. So. Well, I appreciate it. Again, we've been talking to Jim Larko, and he's general manager for CatSam Enterprises. They're located in the St. Louis area, and I certainly thank you for your time, Jim.
Well, Ranger, thank you. Hope to see you at the next trade show.
Well, you know we will. All right.
Okay.
Thanks again.
Thank you.